Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of the past programs of Live by Every Word or any of the programs or podcasts here on Trumpet Radio, you can find those also at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Well, many people are familiar with Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. He died in 1986, but he did a powerful work for God in his ministry. And Mr. Armstrong often said that the Bible is one-third prophecy, a third of it. And that's, of course, a big book, as you know. And 90% of that prophecy is for our time today. And people are very interested in Bible prophecy. What does the Bible have to say? Does it have information that we need about times that are soon to come upon us? Well, of course, if you've listened to this program and other programs on this radio station on Trumpet Radio, you know that, in fact, the Bible does have a lot to say about the time we are in today and the times that we are heading into shortly. Let's notice an example of a prophecy that is for our day today, and this is in the book of Ezekiel. And so if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these passages together. Ezekiel 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." So Ezekiel had quite a memorable event here that he recorded. And verse 2 says, "In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity." And then if we look at Ezekiel 2 and verse 3, it says, "Son of man, I will send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me." The children of Israel. Ezekiel was being sent to the children of Israel. Now, of course, he was captive at the time, and he wasn't with all of the children of Israel. And if you notice in Ezekiel 3 and verse 1, it says, "Son of man, go speak unto the house of Israel." Speak unto the house of Israel. In our free booklet, The Ezekiel Watchman, which you can find at thetrumpet.com, author Gerald Fleury says this, "In a November 19th, 1976 co-worker letter, Herbert W. Armstrong made an interesting observation about this passage in Ezekiel. After writing that God instructed Ezekiel to speak to the house of Israel, Mr. Armstrong wrote, 'Nowhere in the Bible are the Jews called the house of Israel. This term applies only to the 10-tribed kingdom of Israel taken into Assyrian captivity more than 100 years before Ezekiel and the Jews of the house of Judah were taken to Babylon.'" So here you have Ezekiel being instructed very specifically to take a message to the children of Israel. And yet, as is pointed out here, well, the children of Israel, that 10-tribed group, that kingdom, was taken into Assyrian captivity more than 100 years before Ezekiel and the Jews of the house of Judah were taken to Babylon. So they were already gone, the children of Israel. They were already gone. And so how would this message get to the children of Israel? And who even are the children of Israel? The quote continues from the Ezekiel Watchman. "Nowhere in the book does Ezekiel record his journey from where he was in Babylon to those of the house of Israel who were then in Britain and Western Europe. They had already been in and then come out of captivity. Nowhere does he record his giving of the message to them. He merely received the message. He merely recorded it in writing. In other words, this prophecy was to be fulfilled in the end time." So there's prophecy here in Ezekiel that Ezekiel himself could never deliver. He couldn't take it to that house of Israel, to the children of Israel. He was there with the Jews. He could tell them about it, but he couldn't take it to the other 10 tribes. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, and if you have not signed up for that, please do sign up for it. It's a great course. So much knowledge and information in there from your Bible. But talking about this subject, it says, does it make sense that God would not reveal the meaning of these prophecies today? Ezekiel and other biblical prophets will have lived in vain unless their messages are delivered in our day. God has revealed the meaning of these prophecies to his church. An urgent responsibility comes with the revelation. God has given us deeper revelation so we can declare it to Israel. So the question then comes, most naturally, who is Israel? Because people often think that it's just the tribe of Judah, the Jews in the Middle East. And after all, they named their country Israel after World War II. But of course, they're not the entirety of Israel. They are a tribe. They're the tribe of Judah. What about the others? What about the others? This truth about who Israel is revealed in Mr. Herbert Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Now, of course, that unlocks the Bible understanding. It draws upon biblical scriptures to teach the truth about it. It opens up your understanding of the Bible in regard to the subject of who Israel is today. And we have to know who Israel is today if we are to understand Bible prophecy. And of course, we have to know who other Gentile nations are as well that the Bible discusses, especially Germany. What good does it do to read Bible prophecies if we don't know who they're for? If we don't know who they're for? We need to know who Israel is today if we are to understand Bible prophecy. Mr. Armstrong wrote this, "The great world powers of our time have been and are the United States, the Soviet Union, Great Britain, Germany, France, and other Western European nations. The missing vital key is simply the identity of these great world powers in biblical prophecy. I mean, after all, most of them are not referred to by their modern names. So you have to understand the identity, the key, the identity of these modern nations in biblical prophecy." The quote continues and says, "The staggering and cataclysmic world-shaking events soon to erupt upon a shocked, stunned, bewildered world relate directly and specifically to the United States, Britain, Germany, Western Europe, and Russia." He writes, "But the all-important master key has been found." You need to read the United States and Britain in Prophecy. And if you've read it and it's been a long time, go back and read it again. Read it again. It's revelation from God, and it's not old in the sense of not relevant anymore. I mean, we need to understand who Israel is, and as well as other nations, and make sure that we really have this truth pinned down in our minds. Because after all, we cannot understand Bible prophecy if we do not know who Israel is today. Is that important? I mean, it couldn't be more important. As Mr. Armstrong wrote here, it is the missing vital key. The all-important master key. We need to know who these nations are. He says that key is knowledge of the astonishing identity of the American and British peoples as well as the German in biblical prophecies. This very eye-opening, astounding identity is the strongest proof of the inspiration and authority of the Holy Bible. It is, at the same time, the strongest proof of the very active existence of the living God. Wow, what a powerful quote. People want to know, is there a living God? Is there a God? And if so, is he interested in what happens to nations as well as individuals? Is he active in the world and in the lives of different people? Or is he just sort of some sort of, you know, power that created things and just lets it go on its own? There are a lot of ideas out there about that. But again, people's ideas aren't really of any value if they don't come from God's thinking, if they don't come from the Word of God. And that's what we're striving to do on this program, is live by every word. Look at every word of God and understand it and live by it. And so if we want to really prove the very active existence of the living God, we need to get into understanding Bible prophecy. We need to understand Bible prophecy, and we need to understand who Israel is. Christ told his disciples to watch and pray. Well, how can we watch? What would we be watching if we didn't understand Bible prophecy? Just watching the world go by? Watching the clouds in the sky? What are we watching? We're watching world events. Christ said to do that. Now, how would we be able to do that if we didn't understand Bible prophecy? I mean, watching world events can be interesting, but if we don't know where they're leading to, they have no significance. We wouldn't be able to determine which event was important and which event was not important. We would have no idea. We'd be confused. And if you watch nightly news, especially on some of the cable outlets, but really, I guess all of them, they're very confused as to where things are leading. Very confused. And in a lot of cases, putting forward an agenda as opposed to just looking at the events. So Bible prophecy has never been more relevant. It's never been more important for you or for me. And as is written here, as Mr. Armstrong said, it's the strongest proof of the very active existence of the living God. We need to understand what's happening in this world, and we need to understand who Israel is in order to understand these Bible prophecies. And Mr. Fleury wrote this, Mr. Armstrong wrote that the Bible's prophecies are a warning to us, to our English-speaking peoples, of immediate life and death import. How much more urgently true is that statement now, decades after it was originally written? And so Mr. Armstrong was writing about these prophecies decades ago. If you've been paying attention to some of the big events over the last several years over in Britain, and in Europe, and in the United States, and in Russia, and these other nations, and in Germany. Well, and you know what Mr. Armstrong prophesied about it from the Bible, you can see that those prophecies are coming to pass. There's a free book, He Was Right, at thetrumpet.com that you can get, and it goes through and it looks at those prophecies. It looks at them geographically, different regions of the world, and you can see those things coming to pass. Major events, shifts in world power, many, many shifts, and leading to some terrible times, but then ultimately to the greatest time, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. But see, we have a responsibility, you and I. I mean, we can't take prophecies for granted or casually. God is not going to give prophecy or understanding to anyone unless they're an apostle or a prophet. But then once that revelation, that understanding is given, as it was to Mr. Armstrong, well, then we can study it if our minds are being open to it. We can study it. We can begin to understand it. And so we need to know where to go to understand these prophecies of the Bible. It's not open to private interpretation. God has to reveal it. So we can't take these prophecies for granted or casually. And that's a very dangerous position to be in. That's happened to many of God's people. If you're familiar with the church eras, you know that we're in the Laodicean era of God's church. That's the last era before Christ returns. And you know there was prophecies about that era recorded many years ago, given to John in the book of Revelation, talking about a great falling away and other prophecies that tied into that as well. You can read about that in Malachi's message. That's free at thetrumpet.com. And so that has come to pass, that falling away. And it's been going on for some time. And what is one of the major problems? Well, people being more concerned with the things of this world and not with God's word. That's the warning in Revelation 3 to that Laodicean era, that they would be rich and increased with goods, more interested in the material possessions of the world than in God's truth. And, of course, taking God's prophecies for granted or casually. How many people have said, oh yeah, I remember, I heard Mr. Armstrong say something about Israel. I remember he used to say something about the United States and Britain in prophecy. I heard that before one time. Well, just hearing it one time or sort of remembering it, that's taking it casually. That's taking it for granted. We need to be really having these things deeply in our minds, and much more so as we see the times of their fulfillment approaching. Notice this passage. This is Amos 6 and verse 1. Amos 6 and verse 1. And this is something to take very seriously. It's a warning. It says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, who trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came." What does that mean? Well, notice this quote from The Lion Has Roared, written by trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury. It says, Zion is God's church. You can look at Isaiah 40 and verse 9 and Micah 4 and verse 2 to get more understanding on that. The Bible interprets itself. Zion is God's church. God is wrathful towards those who are at ease in God's church. God's people must listen or pay a traumatic price. At ease, taking prophecies for granted or casually, being at ease. Amos 6 and verse 1 there, as we read, woe to them that are at ease. Where? In the world? No. In Zion. In God's church. Those that have been affiliated with God's church over the years. And there are quite a few people that have been. Hundreds of thousands, as a matter of fact. And now, of course, people in the world that aren't paying attention, there's plenty of trouble coming there as well. But this is a specific warning to those who have known God's truth. The quote from The Lion Has Roared book continues. One commentary says that ease means to rejoice in what lacks substance and reality. This is speaking of a church rejoicing in the physical, not God's truth. It rejoices in a religion of false love, and it rejects the dire prophecies of God. These religionists are lost in the present because they have lost God's overview. They are out of touch with reality. Out of touch with reality. Well, doesn't that really describe our time today? Out of touch with reality? I mean, never have we had so many quote-unquote reality programs, but they're out of touch with reality. Out of touch. A fantasy world, a fantasy land that has no substance to it, no value to it. The world is immersed in it, but even many in God's own church are immersed in it. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. How many people could tell you what the latest tweet is from a celebrity? A lot more than could tell you what God's prophecies are concerning Israel. Where's the substance? Where's the value? We have to be careful where we put our minds, what we let our minds dwell on and focus on. This quote continues. It says, as the nations face the worst time of suffering ever known in the history of man, and I know people don't like to hear that. I mean, that's obviously not a pleasant thing to think about, but those are the prophecies of God. The quote continues and says, God's Laodicean church is failing to warn them, not warning Israel, not warning modern Israel. They are at ease because they don't see the mind-splitting reality. They are blind. And that's what Christ said in Revelation 3. They're blind. They think they're rich and increased with goods, but they're blind. And then it quotes Amos 6 in verse 3. You that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near. And he writes, only those in God's church know about the evil day, the great tribulation coming, followed by the day of the Lord. The end time nuclear destruction, he writes, but they put it far into the future when it's actually very near. The closer the evil day is, the more at ease they become. And you can think historically about what's happened if you look into the Bible and believe the Word of God. Well, people were pretty much at ease before the flood, right? People were at ease in Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. People have been at ease. They've been going about their business, very much involved in their entertainments and so forth. They've been at ease, but that evil day was closer than they thought, and it came upon them. Mr. Fleury writes, there are many forces, plans, and conspiracies at work that are about to cause our world to explode in violence. If you paid attention to what's going on politically, you know that's true. He says this could all be avoided if we knew and understood that the lost master key has been found. If the message contained in the United States and Britain in prophecy were heeded, worldwide disaster could be averted. That's worth reading again. If the message contained in the United States and Britain in prophecy were heeded, worldwide disaster could be averted. I mean, people can make choices. We can make choices. What do we want to do? Do we want to go a path that leads to worldwide disaster, or do we want to change our course and our direction? Well, how interested are we in the United States and Britain in prophecy and the truth of who Israel is? Again, one-third of the Bible is prophecy, 90% for our time today. But if we don't know who Israel is in Bible prophecy, we don't know anything about Bible prophecy. We might know some historical things where a prophecy was fulfilled, and of course, a lot of times there's a duality to it where there's another type coming. We wouldn't understand that more modern type. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They relegate it to history. Oh, well, that was a prophecy, and it already happened, and it's just in there for, I guess, historical purposes, not realizing that there's another fulfillment coming in many cases. But we have to have a proper perspective here as well. Knowing who Israel is today isn't just about dire prophecies. A criticism that sometimes people have when they look at Bible prophecy is they say, oh, it's doom and gloom. It's all such bad news. Well, there's a couple things there. One, it's true, so whether it's bad news or not, it's true. If people don't change, that's the direction things are leading to. But even so, there's great news on the other side of some of those problems. Great news. The best news. How about focusing a lot on that as well? I mean, we have to look at the complete picture. We can't ignore the bad, but we also don't want to minimize the good. And often the people that are ignoring the bad are also completely ignoring the good and the great that God is prophesying. Because if we know God's plan for Israel, we know there's some correction coming if people don't change. But we also know, because God prophesies it, that God plans to bring people of all races, all nations, all tongues into his eternal family. It's a plan of salvation for the entire world. And so ignoring the prophecies that people might consider to be on the more negative side also means they're ignoring the greatest news ever, which is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Just take a look at the world today. And you don't have to look that hard. I mean, do you see division among races, people, countries? Of course, all the time. You know, every time we have a political election come along, especially in the United States, well, it's all about the division, you know, this group against that group, and this group's treated unfairly, and that group's treated unfairly, and these people have this, and these others don't have that, and the political candidates come, and they say, we're going to set it all right, we're going to make it all fair, we're going to turn it upside down, and of course, they don't ever do that, but even if they did completely turn everything upside down, well, then it would be unfair for the other people. You know, where's the fairness? Where is the justice? Where is the rule of law? Where is the hope? Well, it's only in God's plan of salvation for mankind, God's government, God's family. And that has everything to do with understanding who Israel is today, understanding the prophecies revolving around Israel, concerning Israel, and realizing that those prophecies then are about the whole world. Because everyone has a chance to come into God's kingdom and be part of spiritual Israel. You know, we're not talking about physical race at that point. We're talking about spiritually being the seed of Abraham because of obedience to God and using the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful prophecy. There are many prophecies about that. But we have to understand who Israel is and God's purpose for them. Notice one final passage today in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" That's not bad news at all, is it? Of course not. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? All those that are willing, and most will be, willing to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have to link those two things together as God does. If we're going to be saved by God, if we're going to obtain the kingdom of God, and of course that can't be a selfish pursuit, but if we're working to support God and his work and growing and developing, then we are preparing to enter the kingdom of God to then help other people. It's a continual process of helping and helping others to do what? Well, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We can't be growing and developing and preparing to enter the kingdom of God if we don't know the truth. How would we be growing? What would we be doing? We wouldn't even know what to do. We need to know the truth of God. We need to know the knowledge of the truth. And so we need to know what's in the United States and Britain in prophecy. We need to know what God's plan is for Israel and for the entire world. God, as it says, will have all people who are willing born into his eternal family. But to understand God's plan of salvation for all mankind, we must know why God selected Israel to be his chosen nation anciently. And we have to know who modern Israel is today. We have to know those things very deeply. And not just know them in the sense of, oh, I remember Mr. Armstrong used to teach that. Where did he get it from? He got it from the Bible. We need to know that it's what God teaches. It's what God teaches, and that truth is still relevant today, and it's still extremely important today. It is still the master key to understanding Bible prophecy today. And we only understand that truth as we go through the United States and Britain in prophecy and then get the Bible out with it and side by side go through the scriptures. God had to reveal that truth, and he did. And we need to make sure that we understand it and understand it from his word as we use the United States and Britain in prophecy to put all of it together and understand who Israel was, who they are today, and what God's plan is for them and the entire world in the very near future. So make sure you get that free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, if you don't have it. It's at thetrumpet.com. It's free. You can order it, which is great to do, so you can mark up the pages and make notes and so forth. But you can read it online or download it too, if you prefer to do it that way. It's very important to understand the truth in that book. And again, if you've read it before but it's been a while, make sure you get it back out and go through it again and get it for free if you don't have it. Make sure you get it and read The United States and Britain in Prophecy. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.